It's so good to see you all, and thank you for watching online this morning. I'm Norm Byers. What a pleasure to see people engaging with each other. Oh, it's so good. Thank you, Lord. God is good, isn't He? He is good. We're in a series of talks on the church, and you know, sometimes we can have kind of a small view of what the church is, kind of a limited view. For example, you might drive by a church's location and say, hey, that's the church. That's, you know, where that church, you know, is. And, you know, really, though, church is not a building. It's not a service. It's the people of God on a mission for Jesus Christ. That's what the church is. So that was one of the reasons why we named this the Genesis Center. It's not the church, it's a building, and the church meets here, the church gathers here, and we share this building with the community, but it's not the church. And so sometimes we can have kind of a small view. In the Bible, there are all kinds of different, really cool pictures of what the church is, and in this series, we're just kind of taking them one at a time over 5 weeks or so. The first week, we looked at church is family. We talked about that we're a family. Now, a big happy family, you might think? Well, not always. It's more like a regular family, like a place where you have to practice forgiveness, a place where you get to dust off patience and kindness with one another. And so it's kind of like that. The church is where you learn to love like Jesus loved. And that doesn't happen necessarily just in when everything's always all happy. Last week we looked at church is feast. And we talked about like this gathering, this meeting here is a meal. It's an opportunity for us to feast on God, on the greatness of God. And we do that together. We do that through worship, through lifting God up, and we do that through rehearsing the gospel, like retracing through. What is our connection with God? Oh, we were sinners. We were broken. And then remembering that God had mercy on us and brought us into His family. And so those were a couple of them that we looked at. Now today we want to look at this. We want to look at that the church points a direction. The church points a direction. Have you ever been driving along or riding with someone and you're kind of maybe late for a meeting? It always seems like I'm late for a meeting. I don't know about you guys. But I'm driving along and all of a sudden I need to turn somewhere and the road is closed. Have you guys ever experienced that before? It's like, dang, now I'm for sure going to be late. This road is closed and what's going on? It could be men at work down there. It could be there was an accident. It, you know, could be a lot of different things. And then all of a sudden we see a detour sign. It says, you know, follow these detour signs. Like, oh, good, an alternative route to get where I'm going. And you know what? That is a great example of what the church is. You know, life is challenging. Life is tough. And the church is there to give directions, to give an alternative route to where you are going. So church is foundation. That's what we're going to look at today. That's kind of our big idea. And what it does, the church is in the great position, the great role of laying a foundation that points everybody that'll listen to a fulfilling and purposeful life. Our scripture today is found in 1 Timothy, one of the New Testament books, 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to be reading verses 14 and 15. Let me just tell you a little bit about it, about this particular book. It's an epistle, a letter. It was written by the Apostle Paul, and it was written to a young pastor named Timothy. Timothy was the new pastor at the church in Ephesus, and it was not an easy job that he had. It wasn't going all that well, and so, you know, you might ask the question, well, why wasn't it going well? Well, it wasn't going well because of people. I've noticed something in my years of being a pastor, that there are people in the church, and sometimes that causes things not to go well. Have you ever noticed that before? I'm kind of joking, but I'm also kind of telling the truth, and why do I have problems in life? Because I'm a people. You know, so it kind of goes both ways. But so there were issues in the church. Things weren't going all that well. And so let's try to understand what the Apostle Paul wanted Timothy to do. Let's read this passage here. Let me read it. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. This is God's word here. So the Apostle Paul is writing. The Holy Spirit, we believe, is leading him to write these words. But his purpose is to give instructions to Timothy that he instruct into the church. Because people in the church need instructions. And so, he kind of follows that idea out with, because the church is the pillar and foundation of truth. Another way to say that, the church is the revealer and defender of truth. Sounds pretty important, doesn't it? Pretty significant. But what we want to do over this next little bit of time together is just to discover what does it mean. So I have an outline here for you, three thoughts here that will support this idea. The first one is the church is not the truth. The second idea is the church reveals the truth. And then lastly, we'll look at the church defends the truth. Okay? So let's go right in here with this first one. The church is not the truth. The church is in the truth business, yes. But in itself, it's not the truth. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because this is kind of an important thing, that there are some churches that have some flawed teaching in this area. They see the church as the supreme authority. They see the Bible as only one source of truth, an important one, yes, but not the only source of truth. And so some churches, they continue to add to the truth. They have revelation and they add to the truth and they continue it going. And, you know, the question just quickly that I would ask about that is, what if a church has a bad leader? You know, that could be problematic, right? And so this was kind of happening at Ephesus, this church that Timothy, this young pastor, he's now the pastor and he's having to deal with some issues, some people issues. And this was a little bit of what was going on. Let me read you right at the beginning of the letter, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. It says, this is Paul again saying, "Just as I urged you upon my departure for Macedonia to remain at Ephesus, so that you would instruct certain people not to teach false," or another word that could be put in there is "other teaching," false or other doctrines, "nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to useless speculation rather than advance the plan of God, which is by faith." And so Paul is saying, you know, tell them to stop inventing new truth, to stop adding on to doctrine, to orthodox teaching that the church has. No new teaching. We're not changing things that are in God's Word. And so false teaching, it's disruptive. It causes controversies. It causes speculation. And ultimately, what he was saying is that these teachings, these other teachings, they're not in God's plans. They're not in the plans of God. They're not a part of that. Now, when we were building this building, and we were kind of in the before it started to get built phase, we were, you know, finalized the plans, and our architect named Ron, I just remember him bringing in the plans. There were probably 12 different plans, architectural plans for the building. maybe more than a dozen. And they were huge. And I remember just looking at them, all the detail that was in, like one was for electrical systems, one was for plumbing systems and landscape and all kinds of different things. And you could just really get down into the detail of those plans and what had been put out there. And so, like, if Johnny was like, you know, I want my office to be a little bigger, you know, he starts erasing a line and start moving things around. It just doesn't work that way. These are the final plans. These are the plans that we need to carry out in order to build the building. And so in a very similar way, God has plans in his teaching, his truth, big T truth, not little T truth, not your truth and my truth, but his truth has been revealed through the Bible, through his word. Not our own teaching, but his teaching, his plans. And at that time in Ephesus, there was a group of people. They were called, we call them today, looking back, the Gnostics. And they basically believed that there was secret knowledge. They had spiritual knowledge, like secret that no one else had, only like one person would have it, and then they would share it, and then that would be like, hey, this is where we're going now, because somebody had, you know, secret knowledge. And this is what Paul is talking about here. This is what this letter is all about. This new teaching is not elevated over these plans that God has given. Now, let me just give you one example that the Gnostics, they believed that Jesus was not a physical person. Because physical stuff is bad. It's evil. It's material things are not good. Only spiritual things are good. And so in their way of thinking, Jesus was not an actual person. So if you kind of follow that through, there's some big implications of that. If he is not a real person, that means he didn't really be crucified. He didn't pay for sins. He didn't really die. He certainly didn't have a bodily resurrection. And so it kind of impacts a lot of the other teaching that are in the scripture. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, it says this. This is Paul kind of, he says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We'll just stop there. Christ Jesus came into the world, the incarnation. He actually came into this world. In another place, he says, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's found in 1 Timothy chapter 2. There's one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. And so we see that Orthodox teaching teaches that Jesus was a physical body. He wasn't a ghost. He wasn't just a spirit. He actually came. He actually died. He actually rose again from the dead. And so that's an important teaching that we have. That is the truth. So church, in summary, church is not the source of truth, nor is it the authority, you know, making new truth. God is the source of truth. He's the one that has revealed his truth. He's the one that's given us his plans. And the church, our call is to be faithful to his truth, to his plans, to the word of God. We're to study the plans, study the Bible. We're to understand them. We're not to deviate from them. And if we do, we'll have problems. And Paul said that he says this in chapter 1, he says that these people that do, they have a shipwrecked faith. They have a faith that runs aground. And it's destroyed, and they're not able to travel anywhere. So here's a great summary of this by John Stott. He was a theologian. He says, the church depends on the truth for its existence. You see, we depend on the truth for our existence. The truth depends on the church for its defense and proclamation. That's what we're going to look at next here. I want to share a story just from my own life. When I was 23, I became a youth pastor, a student pastor. And I didn't have Bible training in my undergraduate work. I was communication arts. And so I went and became this student pastor. And I loved it. And one of the things, though, that was a real struggle for me, and I felt nervous all the time, was what do I say to these kids? What do I tell them? what do I share with them? You know, I don't know what to say. And I just felt really, you know, nervous. I had a story, what God had done to me, and I shared that a lot, and that was very natural. But then just going beyond that, I really, really, really struggled with that. And it came to me that, you know, I need more training. I need more theology training. I need more Bible training. And so at one point, we just decided, I'm going to go get some training. So we left that ministry and went and got some additional training. And I remember in that training, like, studying the Bible and like, wow, I came to understand that this is what I need to share with them. I don't have to make up anything. I don't have to be the best comedian in the world. I don't have to do all this stuff. I just need to be able to study the Bible and to be able to show them this is God's truth and this is how it can change your life. And I just want to tell you, that was powerful for me. So God's truth is objective. It's static. It's not changing. It's something that we can study and that we can know. We can actually obtain that knowledge and pass it on to others. Let's go to the second idea here. The second point is the church reveals the truth. The church, its role in the community is to make known truth, to unveil it. The word reveal is like, you know, you got a sheet over something, it's like, ah, voila, here it is, whatever it is. It's under that veil. It unveils the truth. And as I said earlier, life is hard, and there's so many challenges and difficulties in our lives. And right now, things may be going really well for you, but it's not a matter of if you're going to face some challenges in the future. It's just a matter of when. When is the next one coming? That's from a few decades of experience up here, you know, in my life. It's not all been easy. And so sometimes people, they're going through life, they're on a road, so to speak, and they find out, you know what, this is not going anywhere. I'm on a dead-end road. I'm on a closed road here. I'm not getting anywhere. And they're looking, they're now open to an alternative way. They're open to a new way of life. And you know what? While you're listening at home, that may be you. That could be you here this morning. You're like, yeah, that resonates with me. You know, I've had a divorce. I wrecked a business. Whatever. I don't know what it may be for you. I know what I've done. I know my troubles and struggles that I have had. But sometimes we're looking for a new way, an alternative way to proceed, and that is why the church is here. Woohoo! It makes me so happy to be in this role to point people to an alternative way. This whole idea comes from the word pillar. Remember, Paul said, the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. So we're going to look at pillar. We're going to find out why that says what I just said it says. So a pillar in the day, back in Ephesus, ancient Ephesus, 2,000 years ago, something would have come to mind for the people from Ephesus when you said the word pillar. Maybe you know what it is at your seat or at home. The Temple of Artemis would have come to mind right here. This is a depiction. It is no longer there. It was an amazing sight. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It had 127 pillars. It was massive. It was a pagan temple, and it was a major marketplace. Historian William Barclay, let me read what he has to say. We'll put it up on the screen. And by the way, if you want the notes for this talk, just text Genesis, put notes in that little text, and we'll send you the link so you can have these notes. There's some resources in there too. But it says, this is what William Barclay, the late William Barclay said, every pillar was the gift of a king. All were made of marble. Some were studded with jewels and overlaid with gold. The people of Ephesus knew very well how beautiful a thing a pillar could be. It may well be that the idea of the word pillar here is not so much support. You know, you think of a pillar holding up a roof. He's saying that that is contained in the word buttress, which is the second word we'll look at in just a moment. But he believed back then when he was writing that it meant more display. It's a pillar that displays something. That, like when we say put them on a pedestal, you know, we're saying put them up there so everybody can see. Like this bust of Caesar from way back in the day. Right here, it's put on a pillar so that you can see. I don't know which Caesar that one is, but it's put on a pedestal so that it'll stand out above all the ordinary things, be clearly seen, even from a distance. It's like, oh wow, that's a bust of Caesar. And so what Barclay was saying, and what I believe is true, that's why we're here. That's why we're in this community. That's why we're in Boyne City. That's why we're in Harbor Springs, to put the truth of God on a pedestal, to put it on a pillar, to uphold the truth of God in such a way that all may see it. Not creating new truth, creating our own ideas on truth, but upholding His truth. The church makes God's truth, two things I'm going to say here, visible and accessible. So let me walk through this real quick. Visible, these are kind of overlapping ideas, yes, but visible, put in a position of public prominence. Okay? When we came to this community to start Genesis, some of you remember, some of you were there, you heard about it. We met in the movie theater, you know, right there by Walmart. Not the old one that got tore down like a year before we got here. Everybody's like, are you in the old theater? No, it got tore down like 5 years ago. No, we wanted to be in a public place of prominence to bring God's truth. That's why we spoke out in the parks, and we've had gatherings out in the park. That's why we're on YouTube and Facebook. We're not going to be ashamed of God's truth, but we want to present it. We want to present it to our community. And that's another reason why we've planted other churches, to start other churches, so in their community, they can put God's truth on a pedestal, so it can be fully displayed in all those different areas. Now, the church should make God's truth accessible as well. Not just visible, but accessible. What do I mean by that? It sounds like the same thing. And what I'm talking about here is more of the manner. More of the manner in which we share the truth. You know, how we share, how we display God's truth. We should do it in a friendly manner. We should do it in a kind manner, in a friendly manner with those in our great community. We should have empathy and love for those who may not know God. When someone comes in here, and I hope this is your experience as you've come to Genesis, you come for the first time, maybe you haven't been to church ever in your whole life. We've had people, their first time coming to church was at Genesis. And I count that as one of the most biggest blessings in my heart when that happens with someone, where they finally are, they're going to give church a chance, and they come to my church, the church I'm a part of. Well, you may be listening in and you don't know much about church. And so, you know, we're trying to be real careful with technical language, like explain things, like not just take for granted, well, everybody knows that old song we sang earlier. Everybody knows this. I mean, if you don't, you're an idiot, but yeah, everybody else does. No. Like, no, not everybody does know that. And so we want to be accessible. We're displaying God's truth. We don't want to offend people and push people away. And so we work to eliminate any offensive manner that would be a disruption from people engaging in God's word. So the church here in this locale, we are carrying out God's plans. We are people on a mission together. We're carrying out His plans, His teaching, His truth. We're trying to help people connect here in our community with Jesus Christ. So on a macro level, that's all of us together. That's what we're doing right now. But there's also a micro level, because the micro makes up the macro. And what that means is that that's you. That's you as an individual who follow Christ. Not everybody here today follows Jesus Christ. You're still figuring it out. And just take your time. But for those of you that, yeah, Jesus is my Savior, and, you know, I've been baptized, or, hey, I'm getting baptized at Easter, let us know. We'd like to know that. But, you know, wherever you are, it's like you're a follower of Jesus. You're a revealer of His truth. And so on a micro level, all of us should be getting fed here and, you know, just fired up to go back into our world in the right manner, in love and mercy and kindness, and to reveal God's truth, because it's done so much in your life. And so I want you to think about that here as I continue on. I want you to think about what that means for you as a follower of Christ. What does that look like? What does it look like for you to reveal? Who are the people in your life right now that you know they're in your life because God put them there? And now it's time for you to share some of God's truth. Are you going to be faithful to that? Are you going to be ashamed? Are you going to be afraid that something might go sideways? Okay, let's go on to the last thought here. The last idea of the outline is the church defends the truth. The church is in this world. It's a pillar and a foundation of truth. It defends the truth from attack. If you're familiar with the laws of thermodynamics, maybe somebody here is, or a couple of you are, the third law of thermodynamics basically says that things fall apart over time unless you make the effort to keep them together. So if you own a car, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? It's got rust. It's not working right. You know, what happened? The handle fell. We had a van one time and like three handles broke off of it. It's like, what the heck? You know, how do we get into the car? Got to pick the kids up. We painted if you have a house or an apartment, you know it too. Like, we painted a wall in one of our rooms in our house a couple years ago, made it really nice. And then, you know, the ping pong table happens to be in there. And so when these kids of mine go up to do a kill shot, they like rub the paddle against the wall. So guess what? You look at, there's stripes all over the wall, you know, stuff is, it's got to be repainted again, you know? It's just, that's what life is like, isn't it? If you have a lawn, it's like weeds grow up. It's crazy. So that's the law, the third law of thermodynamics, that things just tend to break down over time unless you put some energy into holding them together. This law impacts the church in a very tragic way. There's attacks on orthodox teaching. There's attacks on God's doctrine, on what he has said in his word. And it's happened over the ages. It happens in every culture of the world because Christianity is transcultural. I hope you know that. It's not just an American thing. It's not just a European thing. As a matter of fact, the church is growing wildly in China and in South America and in Russia. That's where it's growing wildly. In the West, it's not growing so much, but it's transcultural. But in every culture, there's attack on the truth of the Bible. And so, Paul is saying it's the pillar and foundation. This word foundation, it's a little different than like you build on a foundation. It's the idea of bulwark. Let me show you a picture. This is like a bulwark. This is like a defensive wall, okay? This is the idea that Paul is articulating here to young Timothy, that the church is to be a defense, a defensive posture for the truth. Remember the Gnostics? They claimed to have secret knowledge. And one thing that they also taught in addition that flowed from that earlier idea I was giving you, that Jesus wasn't a bodily one, was the way to get right with God was to practice a severe kind of self-discipline. Paul writes about this in chapter 4 of the letter, if you want to look it up. But a severe type of, you know, really holding back from any kind of fleshly thing that you'd want, like abstaining from food, abstaining from marriage, were some of the things. Like, if you do enough good things, then you will be accepted by God. And so this was kind of the teaching that the Gnostics was putting forth. But again, you know, Paul was saying that here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst sinner, because he tried to kill Christians, Paul did, if you know his story, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. You see, the biblical teaching, or God's orthodox truth, is that sinners who turn to Christ experience mercy. When we repent and turn to him and say, I can't do it anymore, we get mercy. Sinners who turn to Christ are forgiven. We get forgiven. Not if we didn't eat, you know, a Reese's peanut butter cup, which I tend to like, by the way. I'm not going to eat that because I'm going to please God, or I'm going to help the old lady cross the street, or I'm going to give money to the church, and then I'll be accepted with God. And the Apostle Paul is saying, no, that's all rubbish. None of that is going to make a difference. It's all about recognizing you're a sinner and you're broken and turning to God, turning to Christ. That's where forgiveness comes. Those who trust him and are forgiven have eternal life. That's what Paul was saying. So, that was then. We don't have as much trouble with people denying themselves, you know, in that way. But today, there's attacks on the truth. The Bible is attacked in many ways. It's called outdated and obsolete. We're told that it's patriarchal, you know, that it's only about men and position. Or its views on sexuality is primitive. And so many people dismiss the Bible because our cultural settings tell us that, it's in opposition to that, so it must be wrong. And we just turn away from it. You know, another one, society says to keep our faith private. The privatization of faith. Don't be sharing your faith here. Of course, people who are secular can share their faith, what they believe, what their values are, but people of faith are not supposed to. And these are all cultural things that are attacking the truth of the Bible. I have a friend who planted a church in France a few years ago. He was telling me that over in France, it's very much more secularized than America, that right now, in order to be a recognized church, they're trying to pass a law that says you have to sign a statement that says the laws of the republic are higher than the laws of God. Okay? That's in France. And so that's not passed yet, but it's they're going through a process to pass that. And so that's in direct contrast to what the Bible says. We must follow God's laws more than man's laws. If God's laws are higher than are in conflict, then we follow God's laws instead of man's laws. And so the church is in this context for pointing light to that, for drawing out the differences, showing the contrast, helping people understand, look at the culture is what is teaching you to do that. And so that takes understanding the truth, and it takes trying to understand the culture. We have to critique the culture, and the Bible helps us to do that. D.A. Carson says that the church's role is to bear witness to the truth and to defend the truth. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you that it does give us plans and direction. Now, as we take just a few moments to walk through some appropriate steps to take, faith steps for all of us, Lord, guide and direct Johnny as we lead through that right now. And I pray this in your awesome and powerful name. Amen.
Amen. I had to like sprint.
Yeah.
From the right. Sound booth. Thank you, Norm.
Yeah, it's good.
That is awesome. So, yeah. Genesis Church, it is time for next steps. Thank you for giving us a message from Scripture. We are going to get more bang for our buck this week. We've got four next steps. So we're going to charge right into them. These are things that we want you to be: learners, revealers, inspectors, and protectors. That's
pick
what we're
one.
Talking about. Pick one, or all four. If you really want extra credit, you can tell us. Text us. But pick one of these, and we want you to live it out, act it out. It's one thing to hear Norm talk. It's another thing to take what he's saying and go and do it. So that's what we want to challenge you with right now. The first one is, I want to be a learner of the truth, and I'm going to dive into Scripture by, and you get to fill in the blank there. For me, what I've learned actually just this past week that I really, really love is the Bible app. The YouVersion Bible app has stories. So it's just like I'm flipping through like an Instagram story. I don't know if you guys have Instagram or not. I've got Instagram. But you can actually go through and it'll give you a brief sermon, like 3 or 4 minutes. It'll give you a challenging question, an application step, and a verse to meditate on right then and there. I'm starting my day out with that. So instead of going to Instagram, instead of going to Snapchat, whatever it is that you go to in the morning, cup of coffee, I'm starting right there in the Bible app. Really, really fun. So what would you say is a good place if you don't know the Bible to go and to start diving in?
Yeah. And I think like the technology, there's just so many things to help you. The Bible app, get it on your phone. Another one is Verses. It's an app, and it helps you memorize verses. You can just put a short one in there. There's some games that you play. It's kind of a neat thing. So Verses, look it up. But your question, the gospel is a great place. One of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you can pick one of them, and you can learn about Jesus and what he did. And if you're kind of getting started with the Bible, it's a great place. It's narrative. You get to read about the miracles and the different things that Jesus did. Maybe you want to read about the church. Go to Acts, the Acts of the Apostle. Maybe Proverbs is a great place. Like, you're looking for wisdom. You're running a business, or you're running a family, or, you know, you're just trying to figure out how to spend your time. The Proverbs, there's 31 of them, one for each day of the month. And you can just read through that, and you'll get all kinds of wisdom. Those are great places to wade into the pool of Scripture. Let's go on to the next one here. And this is revealers. I kind of came down on this one pretty good, I think, earlier, just trying to really challenge you to be a revealer of the truth. And I want to ask you again, like, who is God laying on your heart? Who is in your life? You know, it could be a play group. It could be, you know, at school, at the games. You know, I remember all the kids' games, and, like, you just know all these different people. Like, open up your eyes and your heart to who is in your life and in your heart, and what may be God inviting you in to sharing. And so, Johnny, what, like, in terms of manner, do you have any thoughts on that, how to do that?
Yeah, two things. Okay. Two things, right off. I was actually talking to somebody about this week. If you're at a place in your faith where you feel like, man, I'm not seeing much growth, I'm not seeing, you know, I'm not feeling fed, that might be an indicator that it's now time for you to grow somebody else. Because I was actually telling somebody this week, you can only go so far in your faith before your faith requires you to share it with somebody else. And that's that next level growth. So maybe if you're feeling stagnant, if you're feeling like, yeah, I've kind of plateaued, it's time to share. It's time to grow somebody else, pour into somebody else. And that's something that I would challenge you with. A little bit of grace for that, and this is something I tell people all the time too. If you're sharing faith with somebody, if you're sharing your faith, the truth of God's word with somebody, and they ask you a question, or if they challenge you on something, it is totally appropriate to say, I don't know. Let's find out together, and share that way with people around you. But I do think that it is important that we be sharing and revealing this truth to the world around us.
Do you see why I have him up here? I mean, that is worth its weight in gold right there. If you're feeling stagnant, if you're like going to church, I'm not feeling fed.
It's time to feed.
It's time to feed. I mean, that's just an honest thing, and we get, you know, spiritually constipated. Can I say that? Is this one of those
Let's move on. Junior high youth pastor things.
I used to do? We get all jammed up with everything that we've learned, but we've never let it flow through, you know? Anyway, let's move on here. Let's move on to inspection, okay?
Yes.
Inspectors, okay? Yeah. How are we doing this?
So,
I forgot.
How to inspect the truth. Dig in. If there's something that you don't understand,
yes,
that you say, I don't know, too, the next step is to go. We've got resources here as a church. The Reason for God by Tim Keller, the pastor of pastors. He's awesome.
Yes.
We want to equip you for those things. And Norm, where can we go to be diagnosing what the culture believes and what the culture is sharing with us?
Thank you for sharing Tim Keller's book, The Reason for God. We have some. If you want one, just text us. We'll get it to you. We got some today. He does an outstanding job of helping us understand the culture that we live in and what are the attack points that are happening. You can go on YouTube, put in Tim Keller. He's just my own personal favorite. The Gospel Coalition is an incredible website with a great breadth of knowledge and help to help you understand, you know, the world that you live in. I'm not intuitive that way. I have to read other people and, oh yeah, what the heck is going on here? You know, like, and that's where I get a lot of that. So the last one is protector. Where do you need to stand up? Where do you need to stand up? Where do you need to, you know, and again, our manner is kind and love, and it's not angry. It's not like you guys are a bunch of idiots. That's wrong. We talked about that earlier this year. That's a wrong attitude, and it's not looking at someone as created in the image of God. But where do we need to speak up? You know, is it at the school board? I don't know. Is it, you know, is it just in a conversation with someone? And so be thinking about that, about the issues that are important to you. Johnny, would you finish this up with a prayer?
Absolutely. Dear God, thank you so much for this time we get to gather together today. We don't take it for granted gathering together in this place and learning your truth. Learning who we are together, the potential that's unlocked when your people gather together and grow together and challenge one another and encourage one another. We pray that we can do that in this week to come. We pray that we can reveal and hold your truth on high for a watching world. And we pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Genesis, go in the peace and the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.